Brick Moon Fiction presents Animalcules Part 3, Repels. There was a light clinking noise from across the room. Fee groaned and rolled over onto her side. Her voice came out as a slurred sigh. Marbles? Quit it. She was drifting off again when the clink was repeated, then jolted awake when something small and hard hit her forehead. Ow! What the hell, Marbles? Fee sat up in a strange room. She was on a black leather couch in a sleek, sprawling office. Large glass windows looked out on a city she didn't recognize. The sun was low, but she couldn't tell if it was rising or setting. Her animalcules were all there, seated in a semicircle around the couch she had been sleeping on and looking at her. She noticed Marble's cheeks puffed out and she rubbed her forehead. Don't spit another one at me. I'm up. Okay? Where are we? She stood and checked her pockets. Her cell phone was surprisingly still in her back pocket. The screen had been cracked across the top, but the battery was completely dead. At least, she hoped that's all it was. The giant desk at the center of the room had a phone on it. It had a lit screen with a baffling menu of options like hot desk, intercall, and dial from, as well as rows of blue and gray buttons marked with cryptic symbols. Fee held the receiver to her ear and tried hitting various buttons, hoping for a dial tone. Behind her, she could hear Ripper making adjustments to the upholstery of one of the office chairs. This phone makes no sense. How do I dial out?
Out.
Shut up, Echo. Now it wants a PIN number. Why does a phone need a PIN number? Buttons jumped onto the desk and mashed the gray buttons with its paw. Fee tucked the receiver between her cheek and her shoulder to pick buttons up and put them back down on the floor. Behind her, there was a sudden electric zzzz sound. Fee turned back to see and smell smoke coming from the phone. Sparky sat on the desk beside it. It tilted its head to one side and blinked big black eyes at her slowly. The phone screen blinked twice and went dark. Sparky blinked again. Fee dropped the receiver on the floor and threw up her hands. Why? You know what? Fine. We won't call for help.
Help?
Shut up, Echo. Fee marched across the room to the office's double doors. We'll just go out blind into whatever strange city this is, and I'll just ask some random people where the hell I am like a crazy person. Fee was surprised to find the doors weren't locked. She turned the chrome handles and swung them open to find herself facing the ginger man in the blue jumpsuit. He was holding a tray loaded with coffee and muffins. He smiled broadly at Fee, showing a gap in his front teeth.
Oh, good. You're awake. Sorry about earlier. Figured you would want some coffee. I think there's tea somewhere if you would rather.
He gestured with the tray, and Fee found herself stepping back to allow him into the room.
Do you mind if we sit down, Miss Baron?
Who are you? What did you do to me? Why am I here?
That's what I'd like to talk about. Please.
He set the tray down on a low table and sat in the same chair Ripper had just been working on. Fee remained standing.
Coffee?
She shook her head. He shrugged.
All right.
Fee's animalcules moved together around her and sat in a cluster at her feet.
They seem to have bonded to you, Miss Baron. If you don't mind my asking, how much control do you have over them?
What?
Your animalcules.
How do you know what they're called?
Wait.
You mean you want to talk about them? No one ever wants to talk about them. Who are you?
He ran his fingers through his hair and leaned back. My name is Brian. My friends and I are interested in the animalcules. Do you mind my asking how you came to be in possession of them?
Fee hesitated.
They showed up at my house. Just randomly?
Yes.
Do you know a man named Max Spool?
Fee shook her head.
You sure you haven't had any contact with anyone by that name? No? Are you sure you wouldn't like a muffin? I think I would like to go now. Brian smiled and poured himself a cup of coffee. Of course, understandable. But you know, you didn't have any money on you and your phone is broken and that car of yours.
Uh-uh.
What am I asking? Where are you headed exactly? Fee ignored him and made for the door. Brian made no move to stop her. She opened the double doors again and stepped out into the hallway to find herself face to face with a 6-foot-tall toad-shaped animalcule with giant black eyes and curly silver fur. It lifted its front right foot and aimed its black paw pad at her. An invisible force hit her across the chest with enough power to send her staggering back into the office. Repels! She turned to Brian, who was still seated and sipping a cup of coffee. Its name is Repels, isn't it? Brian nodded.
Yes, very good. Its talent is to push things away. He was our first attempt. Came out smaller than we would have liked.
First attempt at what?
How about this? I'll answer your questions if you start answering mine.
Brian leaned back in his chair.
See, I don't believe that you don't know Max Spool. I think he entrusted his animalcules to you when he went into hiding.
Where is he? Fee turned back to the door. The giant animalcule Repels had not moved from its position in the hallway. It stared at her with inky black eyes. There was no way she could get past a beast like that. She looked back at her own animalcules inside. Stax was on the table, busying itself stacking all the artificial sweetener packets on the coffee tray in a tall column. Buttons was still playing with the dead desk phone, and Ripper was sitting in the middle of the floor methodically carving long gashes into the carpet. The others were clustered around just watching her. If she had to be stuck with animalcules, why couldn't they be useful at least? She folded her arms and shrugged sullenly. I don't know any Max Spool.
Then how did you come to be in possession of his animalcules?
I don't know. I told you. They just showed up. I don't even want them. If you want them, great, take them. Ripper stopped tearing the carpet and leapt onto the table next to Stax. Stax's pile of sweetener packets wobbled slightly.
It doesn't work that way. You may have noticed they tend to have minds of their own.
So you're not in control of Repels? Brian smiled at her.
Repels is a little different. Look, Fee, I am sorry about bringing you here this way. We just need to get your animalcules away from Tips before anything happened. They're too valuable.
You could have just asked. I would have let you take them.
You still aren't following. They wouldn't have let us take them. Not without you. They would have found their own way back to you.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, they are stubborn.
That's why if we wanted to bring them to Boulder, we had to bring you too.
Fee laughed aloud. We're in Boulder? Brian's eyes narrowed.
Ooh, that means something to you, does it? It would be a lot nicer for both of us if you were honest. Are you sure you don't know Max Spool?
What are you gonna do to me?
To you? Nothing. Stop pacing and sit down. Please, have a muffin. If you're serious about wanting to get rid of your animalcules, a good way to start would be to help us find Max Spool.
Fee leaned against the desk. I don't know him.
Okay, let's try something else. What can you tell me about the Prism Portal?
As he spoke, Stax placed the last sweetener packet on top of the tower. Ripper reached out a tiny claw and tore a neat line down the entire stack. In the same moment, Marble spat a marble, hitting the now torn packets and sending a thick cloud of artificial sweetener into Brian's face.
Uh-uh.
He gasped and choked. His eyes squeezed shut as his face turned red in a coughing fit. Without thinking, Fee grabbed the desk phone, swung it back, and brought it crashing down onto the back of his head. He went wall-eyed, and his arms twitched slightly as he slumped to the floor. Fee watched him for a moment anxiously to make sure he was still breathing. Then she headed for the door. But Rappel still stood there, blocking the way. Fee turned back and appealed to her own animalcules. Look, you little pests! I need you guys to help me out just this one damn time without being difficult. We have to get past this thing, okay? One of you do something useful! Marble spat a marble at the wall. I'm serious. Sparky, zap that thing. Taper, tape its feet to the floor, or something. Why are all your abilities so useless and stupid? Why can't one of you hypnotize it or make it sleep? Echo turned to look at Rappel's and repeated the last word spoken.
Sleep.
Rappel's blinked twice before closing its eyes and falling over sideways, unconscious. It hit the wall with a heavy thud and slid down onto the carpet, breathing heavily, but otherwise still. Huh. Fee watched it for a few long moments to be sure it wouldn't move, then tiptoed past it to the elevator. The animalcules followed in a neat row behind her. The elevator took her to the lobby. Fee half expected armed guards to be there to stop her, but there was only a chubby receptionist sitting at a desk and playing a game on her cell phone. As Fee rushed out the door, followed by her animalcules, the woman didn't even look up. Outside, it was sunny and warm. There were a few cars in the street, but no pedestrians. Fee picked a direction at random and headed down the street at a jog. She wasn't used to running and was forced to stop after only 3 blocks. No one seemed to be following, at least. She decided to risk sitting on the curb for a moment to rest. Ugh, I really need to start working out again. Taper applied a strip of masking tape to her tennis shoes. Thanks.
Are you all right?
Fee looked up to see an elderly woman in a jogging suit holding a latte. She looked down at Fee with an expression of concern. Sort of. Actually, no. I was kidnapped? I mean, don't call the cops or anything because I would have to explain it and it was because of the animalcules and then they'll ignore me or put me into a psych ward. I mean, not that I'm crazy. I'm not. It's these creatures. But you want to talk about them, so just...
Here, dear.
The woman reached into her fanny pack and pulled out a $20 bill and handed it to Fee. Oh, I don't, actually. On second thought, I could really use that. Thanks. The woman sipped her latte and continued down the street. Fee waved goodbye as one of her animalcules snatched the bill from her hand and trotted off with it, disappearing around a corner. Fee scrambled to her feet and ran after him. The other animalcules ran along beside her.
Hide! Come back here with that! Don't you dare hide it! Slow down!
It was several blocks of running before she caught up with them. All 14 of them were standing in a row on the sidewalk facing a large wrought iron gate half covered with twisting vines. On the right side of the gate was a metal plaque that simply read, Spool. Below it there was a piece of wood crudely wired to the gate with the handwritten words, Beware of jumpsuits. The house beyond the gate was a giant Victorian monstrosity painted lime green with dark purple trim. The roof was covered with a convoluted array of solar panels wired to strange boxes, some of which blinked with tiny lights, and some of which appeared to be letting out tiny puffs of steam every few seconds. Her animalcules formed a semicircle around her feet and sat looking up at her. Fee snatched the 20 back from Hyde's and took a moment to regain her breath. Well, now what? This is Spool's house? You made me run all the way for this? We could have walked. He's not going to be home anyway. He's missing. What am I supposed to do?
Do.
Shut up, Echo. Fee looked again at the sign. Beware of jumpsuits. If Spool put that there, then he must know about Brian. Brian did say we, didn't he? Then there are others. What have I gotten myself into? Should have just left you guys with him.
There was a sudden blast of a car horn and Fee jumped. A small baby blue car blasted its horn again and came to a brake-screeching halt a few feet in front of her.
If they want you guys, Fee muttered, I'm just giving you to them.
The driver's door opened and Keiko's lavender head emerged. She beamed.
Hello, Fee! You're here already? That is awesome!
Keiko climbed out of her car, clutching a pink furred animalcule to her chest. Two beige ones and a tiny black furred one followed it. The black animalcule, Fee somehow knew intuitively that its name was Boost, picked up one of the beige ones by its back legs and balanced the larger animalcule over its head for a moment before setting it down again and then repeating the process. The beige animalcule only blinked in response to this treatment. Keiko's other animalcules piled out one after another until there were 13 of them sitting on the sidewalk at her feet. She still held the 14th in her arms. They were more diverse and colorful than Fee's animalcules. Hers were mostly shades of grays and browns. Keiko's were pink, cream, black, and canary. One, Coffee, its name was Coffee, had brown leopard spots.
Fee! I kept calling your phone, but you didn't answer. I was so worried.
Fee broke off. If she told Keiko she was kidnapped, how would she react?
I broke it, I think.
Oh!
She looked Fee over and giggled.
I don't know why, but I thought you would be taller.
The pink animalcule in her arms yelped with a shrill voice.
Esme.
Keiko grinned brightly.
This one is called Esme. All he does is say Esme at random times. He has such a cute voice, don't you think?
Fee leaned against the gate. Adorable. So, looks like we're where we're supposed to be. What do we do now?
Obviously, the animalcules want us to come here, so that is a good sign. Spool-san might be here, or maybe something else important.
He can't be here if people are looking for him. They would have checked the giant house with his name on it. Don't you think? Keiko considered.
Probably so. But there must be something else here that we are meant to find. Maybe the thing they are using the giant animalcules to search for? At least we should find some more information here.
There was a buzzer attached to a box on a pole to the left side of the gate, the right height for a car window. Keiko walked over and pressed it.
I doubt anyone is home.
Home?
Shut up, Echo.
We must stay positive, Fee. The right attitude can make all the difference.
Well, no one is answering. Keiko frowned.
It seems that they're not. But, maybe this is not the best idea, but maybe we can find a way inside anyway. I am sure there is something here that the animalcules want us to see.
Fee stood straight again and looked over the gate carefully. You want to break in? A house like this? There's definitely going to be an alarm system of some kind. We're just going to get arrested, and I would rather not.
This is the animalcules home. They led us here. They must know a way inside.
Fee rolled her eyes. Sure. We'll just ask them how to get in. Shut up, Echo.
Ask me.
Yeah. Look, Keiko. There's something you should know. There are some people, I'm pretty sure it's more than one person, looking for Spool.
Spool.
Shut up, Echo.
Yes, that is why we must find him first and help him.
Or maybe if the animalcules are really his, they will just stay here now that they're at his house. And we can leave and go back to our lives and those people will leave us alone. She eyed the gate. Maybe we could just chuck them over one at a time. Keiko covered her mouth with her hand and giggled.
Fee, don't be silly. But, oh, look, beware of jumpsuits. What does that mean?
Fee cleared her throat.
It looks like it was written not too long ago, doesn't it?
Do
Do you think it's a message from Spool-san?
Maybe. She paused. Yeah, okay, don't freak out. But I was sort of kidnapped last night. Keiko's hands flew to her mouth and her eyes went wide. It's fine, really. I mean, it's not, but I got away. My point is, we should get uninvolved with all this animalcule stuff as fast as we can. It's dangerous. Mm-mm. Keiko looked thoughtful for a moment.
I'm very sorry for what happened to you, Fee. And I'm very glad you and your animalcules are okay. But if someone is willing to do that, and if they are willing to use animalcules to destroy cities, we can't just run away and not help. It would not be right. I could not. No one but us can communicate with animalcules. We're supposed to do this. Don't you think?
I think I don't want them following me around anymore, especially if they're going to get me kidnapped. So let's just do whatever it takes to... Ow! Sparky! What the hell? See what I mean?
Keiko giggled. He was not trying to hurt you. He just dapped your hand for attention, I think. See? It's like when my animalcule glows.
Yeah, they're cute, and you love them. I get it.
Yes, I do. Oh, how sweet. My Boost and your Sparky are flying.
Keiko's little black animalcule, Boost, had picked up Sparky by his hind legs and was balancing him in the air. Boost waddled over to the gate buzzer. As soon as he was in range, Sparky reached out a paw and zapped the button. The gate swung open, and Keiko applauded.
You see? Teamwork! That's how we will do this. Come on, Fee!
The house had marble steps that led up to a green wooden door with a small stained glass window in the middle of it, depicting a chicken sitting on a fence. This is the tackiest place I've ever seen.
I think it's very unique. The kind of house a creative person would live in.
Keiko jogged lightly up the stairs and rang the bell.
I like the pineapples carved in the railings.
Yeah, that and the stained glass chicken don't make it seem like a crazy person's house at all. No one is going to answer the door, Keiko. We're wasting our time.
I don't really think anyone would answer it, but it's worth checking. I am sure there is something the animalcules want us to find here. Let's check the back.
Fine. But I'm just going along because my car's in Albuquerque and you're my ride now. The backyard was less a backyard and more of a small forest of pines with a crisscrossing series of cobblestone paths weaving in and out of them. Some of the trees had strange and random objects sitting on their branches. A bicycle, a gold Buddha statue, a large plastic pumpkin, and several things Fee couldn't identify because they were obscured by tree branches. And several more she couldn't identify because they were twisted clumps of glass, metal, and plastic she simply couldn't give names to. She sighed and sat on a nearby stone bench. The back of it had a face of a walrus carved into it. Her animalcules clustered around her feet and looked up at her. Keiko and her animalcules ran ahead, happily exploring everything. The pink one trotted in circles around Keiko, chirping,
"Asami, Asami."
Fee felt a headache coming on. Fee grudgingly stood and followed Keiko's voice. There was indeed a treehouse. One of the pine trees, much fatter than all the others, had a very small pastel purple wooden house suspended on the thicker branches. It had small triangular windows of frosted glass and a tiny round door. Huh.
It's so cute, isn't it? But so tiny. Too small for a child.
Maybe it is for animalcules? You think so? Huh.
What is it, Fee?
This tree. You notice anything odd about it?
Asami.
It's a very fat tree. And, oh, I see. It isn't right. It's, what's the word?
Symmetrical.
Yes!
A and that's not how trees work. V stepped closer and touched the bark. This is plastic or something. The whole tree, the roots, the needles, everything. Keiko walked around the trunk, examining it from every angle.
You're right, V. This plastic tree is not very environmentally friendly. The other trees are real. Why is this one not?
Esme.
V shrugged. I don't know. Why is there a bicycle on the tree? Rich people are crazy. Let's just leave. Maybe the animalcules will stay here and not follow us since they're home now.
We couldn't abandon them like that. That wouldn't be right.
They can take care of themselves.
But someone is after them, and Spool-san, and maybe us too. If we...
Oh?
V, I found something here under this branch. A ribbon?
V stepped around to look. A long blue plastic ribbon hung from one of the branches and ran down the trunk to the ground. In the middle of it, written in black marker, was the word curls. Keiko plucked at it with her fingers.
It stuck to the trunk. But you know what, V? Curls is one of my animalcules. Where did it go? Curls-chan!
A cream-colored animalcule with a light yellow stripe down its back came trotting through the trees, wagging a fluffy yellow tail. It sat at Keiko's feet and looked up at her with big black eyes. Keiko smiled down at Curls and pointed to the ribbon.
Curls-chan, can you do something with this?
Curls blinked at her and turned to the tree. It reached out a fat little paw and touched the bottom edge of the ribbon, which instantly pulled away from the trunk and curled up into a tight scroll, revealing a small round hole in the plastic bark beneath it. Fee's jaw dropped. Your animalcules do what you tell them?
Yes, they always want to help. But this hole, it looks a little too big for a key. What do you think?
They always do what you tell them? Keiko stooped to peer into the hole.
It looks like maybe there is a switch inside, but it's very deep. Maybe we can find something to reach it with.
But how do you get them to do what you want?
What are you talking about, Fee? Can't you see how much your animalcules love you and want to help you?
She gestured around at the animalcules. Tabor was wrapping the trunk of one of the smaller nearby trees in masking tape. Stax was making a tower of pine cones. Putz was sitting on a branch stuffing dead pine needles into a birdhouse.
They're so cute. They each have such personality. That one, the pine cones, his name is...
Keiko thought for a moment.
Stax, right? He is so chubby and sweet. And this one, Marbles? He has such funny ears.
Marble spat a marble at the stack of pine cones, knocking it over. Stax stared at the scattered pine cones, blinked slowly, and then began to rebuild. Marbles trotted past him to where Keiko and Fee were standing. It sat and looked at the plastic tree, tilted its head to one side, and spat a marble in the hole. There was a click and a mechanical sound of gears and metal snapping into place. The trunk of the tree split down the middle and opened to reveal a metal door. Keiko grinned.
See? And you thought they did not want to help.
Help.
Shut up, Echo. I think it's a little early to call that helpful. We found a door, that's all. She pushed on it. It didn't budge. And it has no handle or knob or keyhole and doesn't open. Also, we don't know what it leads to. Probably something crazy and stupid.
No! We must be positive! We are here for a reason. The door was hidden, so it must be important.
Important.
I said shut up, Echo!
Esme.
Keiko frowned.
Do you always talk to them like that?
Pretty much. Echo never shuts up. Do you know how annoying that is?
But if you would try to be a little more... Nope. Let's not argue. We must work together as a team and stay focused. Right now, we must figure out how this door opens.
Opens?
Esme.
There was a clink, and the metal door swung outward. The interior was small and circular with wood-paneled walls and polished hardwood floors. Great. It's an empty closet. Marbles brushed past her leg on his way inside. The other animalcules followed, one after another, until they were all sitting inside and looking up at Keiko and Fee. Keiko giggled and stepped inside with them.
What are you doing?
I'm dressing the animalcules. They want us to come with them, can't you tell?
Into the tree?
No, look. Stand here with me. There is a panel inside by the floor. It has buttons with weird markings on them.
Fee sighed and stepped inside. There wasn't much room with all the animalcules, and she nearly stepped on a couple of them. The moment she was in, buttons tapped one of the symbols on the panel, and the door swung itself shut again. Two rows of lights on the ceiling came on. Fee could hear an electric hum coming from somewhere below them. Buttons tapped another symbol, and they began to move. Keiko clasped her hands together.
I knew it! It's an elevator! We're going down! Ah, this is so exciting!
Fee braced her hands on the wall. Wherever they were being taken was deep. She counted 16 breaths before they stopped, and a bell chime accompanied the door swinging open again. Now they faced a long wood-paneled hallway lit with small globe chandeliers. Fee stepped out, eager to escape the crowded elevator. Is this shag carpeting? Keiko stepped out beside her.
Yes, it's a very pretty shade of blue, don't you think?
There was a wooden door on the other end of the hallway. They had only taken a few steps when it burst open. A man in an anime t-shirt and welder's mask stood there. He raised what looked to Fee like a child's plastic water blaster and came running at them with it, screaming. Stay back, parasites! He sprayed the blaster at Keiko and Fee's feet. It shot a sticky green foam that Fee felt immediately take hold of her tennis shoe and ankle and cement itself in place. Before she knew what was happening, both feet were stuck to the floor, and from the sound of Keiko's distressed whimper, she was stuck too.
I'll never surrender. You won't take me or the...
He cut off as, one after another, the animalcules trotted down the hall past Fee and Keiko and arranged themselves in a row facing him. Marbles? Boost? Magnet? Ripper? Are you all okay? He lowered the foam nozzle and raised his face mask. Fee guessed he was 50-ish. He had dark green eyes, shaggy brown hair streaked with gray and white, but crooked teeth. He stooped to pat each animalcule affectionately on the head. So worried. Did you all take care of each other, did you? Good. I missed you too. He stood up straight and addressed Fee and Keiko. Well, this is embarrassing. I guess I've gotten a little paranoid lately, but you know how it is. He tossed the foam nozzle aside where it landed on the hardwood with a clatter, before going on breathlessly. Sorry about that. I thought you were with the jumpsuits. Why didn't you tell me the animalcules brought you? I was starting to think they would never come back. Don't worry, the foam will dissolve in about 15 minutes. It won't hurt you. In the meantime, I'll go make us some tea. Do you drink tea? Or I can make smoothies. That would be more fun, wouldn't it? And I think I've got enough blueberries left in the freezer to make pancakes. I'll go get started. Just follow down this way as soon as you're free. You can't get lost. He turned and started down the hall and then stopped and turned back. Oh, by the way, I'm Max.
This has been a production of Brick Moon Fiction. Animalcules was written by Stephanie Jessup, based on an idea by Jason T. Reed and Casey Wolfe. Narrated by Amy Weaver. Sound engineering by Casey Wolfe. Mixing, editing, and effects by Craig Good. Additional effects courtesy freesound.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod. For more information about Animalcules and other Brick Moon projects, visit BrickMoonEntertainment.com.